Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the OHIO podcast. I am your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is silky smooth in the know, JR. That man down there, that is the wild man, Chris Wilds. I am Buckeye Boggs, and you are you, and we are so thankful to have each and every single one of you in the chat with us tonight. And, wow, we already got someone who needs to be banned from the chat.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Yeah, someone just offered $5,000 to people in the chat. That is obviously scam. Sean, my man, get rid of Samuel.
Hold on. Let me type my email in really fast. Yes.
Nice.
Sean, my man, get rid of that guy. All right, man. So we've got a power pack show for you tonight. We're going to talk about our next position group. We're going to do linebackers, so we're heading back to the defense. We are going to discuss the big recruiting weekend this weekend. Chris is going to talk to us a little bit tonight about how the Ohio State's going to try to implement this revenue sharing, which is just – the math on this is crazy, Chris. So I'm really interested to see what you got tonight. And by the way – we had an amazing weekend tonight. So after I give the introductions, Chris, I'm going to let you tell everybody where you and I were last night. And JR's got the robe on, so he's ready to rock and roll. But we are the official Ohio State podcast of Scarlet and Game, which is owned by FanSided. Go over to scarletandgame.com. You can find our audio podcast there. We are also the official Ohio State podcast of the College Huddle, which you see a nice little logo there below JR. Go over to thecollegehuddle.com, see ourselves along with 73 of our other closest friends, and you can check that out as well. Go to our website, theohiopodcast.com. There you find links to our social media sites. You'll find links to the online store that Chris runs. You'll find links to the merch store that we have with all of our merchandise. And you'll find great articles there as well, guys. So please go over to theohiopodcast.com and check that out. If you need to get a hold of us, email us. You can email us at theohiopodcast.com @gmail.com. theohiopodcast@gmail.com. Oh my goodness, the chat is fired up and they're rocking and rolling tonight. Good to see all of you in the chat tonight. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of topics to discuss. But first things first, Chris. Yesterday, you and I went to Baltimore, Ohio, where there was a youth camp going on, organized by this guy, Ryan Wickerham. He says, appreciate you. We appreciate you inviting us, man. Great time at the camp. Chris, go ahead and tell everybody about the camp and then give everybody the awesome announcement about our members that's coming in July.
Okay. So yeah, Ryan invited us out to really an awesome camp there yesterday. We got to spend a little time and meet some great young guys. You know, we got to hang out and meet, you know, briefly, Garrett Stover, Gabe,
Powers.
Thank you. And, Court Williams were all there. We had the opportunity to meet, meet up with our friend Mike Wargo, Jimmy, my brain's not working today, Eric.
Right. Oh gosh, I forget it too. Jimmy,
starts with a B. 97 Rose Bowl team.
Help us out, Wargo. What was Jimmy's last name? And a New England Patriot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. But we got to
Jimmy Bell. There Jimmy it is. Bell,
thank you. And then, of course, Garen Varis, New England Patriot Hall of Famer, was there. And I don't know if you noticed, Eric, but what was amazing to me is Garen Varis, who's got at least 10 years on me, was down in a three-point stance teaching these kids how to go.
Yeah.
We had Garrett Stover out there, and man, too bad he wasn't on the team last year, because the way he was throwing that ball, he could have put Kyle McCord out of a job. You know, we had, just tremendous input from all these guys. The players took the time to really work with the kids. And then, you know, great speeches provided by our friend Mike Wargo. And then, of course,
all of them. Jimmy Bell,
such a powerful speaker.
Yeah, Jimmy Bell was a great, great motivational speaker. And we have video of all of that. And we're gonna put something together for all of you to check it out.
But we've got more than video, Eric.
That's right. What else do we have?
So we have some signed items that these guys were generous enough to sign for us.
Right. Let me put in a little asterisk here real fast. They would have joined us they would have joined us for the podcast, but they have to get permission first from the university.
Correct.
So, but they were more than willing to sign anything to give away. So that's what we're going to do. So go for it, Chris. Tell everybody what we're going to do.
So through the month of July, we are going to be giving away one item each week. I'm assuming we'll do that on our Sunday night show, Eric, or are we going to do that on the call-in?
We haven't really discussed it yet. We'll see.
We'll see. On one of those two shows each week, we will be giving away an autographed item to a person who is a member of our podcast. So go on, if you haven't already, sign up. It's only $3.99 a month. And not only will you be entered to win one of these great prizes, you'll be eligible for free shipping on the stuff that's behind me here. You'll also be able to see content that is members only content. And if I'm not mistaken, we talked about another one that's coming up here. It's going to be a pretty good members only video, didn't you?
Yeah, Kate Stover story
Kate
that
Stover
I know.
Stover story, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, guys, just go on. Make sure you subscribe. Again, only $3.99 a month. What a deal for everything you get.
Yep. So
not to mention the T-shirt.
Yeah, not to mention the free member T-shirt that'll come your way after you've been a member for a month. So that'll be yours as well. And we got a sweet super chat right off the bat, guys. So let me pull this open real fast from Devin, Ohio 7715, 2024-2025, Natty Lock OH, a $50 super chat. Devin, thank you so much, man. Again, we're not worthy of your donations. I really do appreciate you and your support. It helps us out so much, man. And Devin is a member, too. So if you want the opportunity to win some of these cool prizes, and I actually have them downstairs. I don't have them up here with me, or I would show you. What they are is I used to go to a lot of games, and there's free giveaway. So we have an Ohio State rally towels signed by the players.
Mm-hmm.
So Garrett Stover, Gabe Powers, and Court Williams. We have a Tumblr, so the OHIO podcast Tumblr, which is behind Chris there. I might actually have one here. We got one of them signed by the players. We also got one signed by Jimmy Bell and
Mike Wargo
that we will give away. So one of these, they signed one of these as well. So four of those. And that is what we will give away to our members. So if you have not thought about being a member, one of these alone is literally a year's worth of a membership.
Yeah.
So be a member and we will give those out. We will have drawings right here on the show, either on Thursday or on Sunday. And we will make sure that everybody will get that. Donald and Karen, $20 super chat. When do I get my t-shirt? OH. So after you've been a member for a month, I'll reach out to you to get your information. If you want to be preemptive, here's how you guys can help me. You can send me an email with your t-shirt size and your address. That way I don't have to bug you and ask you, and then we'll get those out to you. So just your t-shirt size. We go all the way up to 5X. So a t-shirt size and your address that you'd like for me to mail that to you. You can email me theohiopodcast@gmail.com. Is it Stanley Brand, says the good chef? I don't think so.
No, they are
Keystone.
Thank you.
Keystone Engraving. And as Chris has let us know, it is good quality stuff.
It is.
They really do keep drinks cold and hot. So as Chris said, his air conditioning went out last week and he had ice in it in the morning. He got back home. Ice hadn't melted yet in the doggone thing.
That's some good stuff. A couple cubes floating around there.
Coconut Dreams, good to have you tonight, all the way from the Philippines. How much would you guys pay for a Woody Hayes whistle on a shoestring? Man, I would love to have that in my man cave. $1,000.
Would you probably go that high?
Yeah, I would.
I need some authentication with it.
My ultimate piece of memorabilia is an autographed Woody Hayes. And Chris, gosh darn it, I know that smile. I know that's what that smile means. By the way, Jersey, check this out, guys. I'll see if I can do this tonight. See if I can do this. Hold on.
Eric is turning around. There we go. Buckeye Boggs. Nice.
How'd that look? Was that really bad?
No.
That was good.
Okay. Good. Buckeye Boggs jersey by the Wild Man. Had that made for me. Appreciate that.
I had another one, but now mine's going to have to be framed.
Yeah, got all the autographs. All right, we are 14 minutes into the show, and we haven't even gotten to any of our topics yet. But we want to, again, thank you so much to everybody with the super chats. We really do appreciate that. Thank you, Jeremy. You know where you can get one of those? Contact that guy right there. He can get it for you. He can get you a custom jersey made, put any number on it, any name you want. He can get those made for you guys, okay? So reach out to the Wild Man. And if you don't know how, if you're not friends, if you're not following him on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, just email me, theohiopodcast.com. I'll send it right to him. Get you guys in touch with each other. Okay. Here we go. Yes. JR, keep this one for after commercial.
I have probably two or three names I'm going to say off the start, and then I'll ask you to star any names that people mentioned during it, and
we'll go
over those names.
So I'll star that and try to remember. Sean Schrock, $5 super chat. When are you going to give away an autographed JR robe? if he does, he's got to put woo on there. Yeah. Another question.
We could probably arrange that.
Jar of Happiness, can you make a custom gray jersey? Can you get the gray jerseys customized?
I can't.
I need one of those white jerseys, those ice white ones they make. Those are sweet.
Okay, let's go. Top 10 linebackers in the Big Ten in 2024. I'll go first, then JR, then Chris, you go third. Number 10 for me this year. Number 10 for me is Kobe King from Penn State. He's a redshirt junior, had 59 tackles, 1.5 sacks, one forced fumble. Guys, I struggled. I really struggled with about the last four or five on this list. I ain't gonna lie. He was one of them. I had to try to find a way to put him in. Kobe King's number 10 for me, JR.
Mine was Wayne Matthews III, going to be playing at Michigan State this year. Came in from Old Dominion. Had a very good year last year. 10 tackles against Liberty. And, of course, Liberty made that bowl game. 10 tackles against Western Kentucky in the bowl game. Just felt like he was a very surefire tackler toward the end of the season. Kind of struggled a little bit at the beginning, but toward the end, he just got much, much better. And we'll see how the transition goes from Old Dominion to Michigan State. But, you know, I do kind of drop those guys a little bit typically for that just because I don't know how they're going to do. But yeah, so.
JR, volume needs to come way up. People can barely hear you, they say.
All right, there we go.
That sounds much better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Real quick again, who was that at number 10?
Wayne Matthews III.
I'll talk about him in a second as well. Go ahead, Chris.
My number 10 is also a transfer. I've got Jalen Walker, Indiana Hoosiers. Guy coming over from James Madison. You know, not great size when you think about Big Ten linebackers, and only 6'1", 220. But good instincts, good speed, very fluid in his movement. I think he's going to be good in coverage. Plays the gaps well. My big thing is, can the physical presence he had at that lower level carry over to the Big Ten, given his size? He did have 61 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and 4 passes broken up last year. So
he was someone who I seriously thought about, but that transfer's got me a little worried about that, so I stayed away there. Number 9 for me is I went with Joseph Vaughn, UCLA. He transferred from BYU. 88 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 3 interceptions, 2 pass deflections. BYU in the Big 12 last year, I feel that's a little bit more comparable to the Big 10 than what JMU was playing in the group of 5. So I threw him in at number 9.
My number 9, I'm probably going to be pretty low on him. You guys probably got him a little bit higher. I've never seen him start. I've seen him come in for relief, and I really enjoy him coming in for relief, but I just haven't seen him start yet. So Cody Simon, Ohio State, I like what I saw last year after the Notre Dame game. I don't know. I still look back at that Michigan game and say, Tommy Eichenberg obviously didn't have it. Why wouldn't Jim Knowles put Cody Simon in there more? He only got 14 snaps in that game. And then the game against Missouri, when he got the start, you know, he had 43 snaps and he had 11 tackles. So I don't know. Like, what is going on here? Why wasn't Jim Knowles playing him? He started to play him once Steele and Tommy got a little bit more beaten up, but still didn't play him against Michigan. I don't understand why, but yeah, so it just seemed obvious to me he was better, but maybe it didn't to Jim Knowles, so we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, JR, you and I are kind of in lockstep here. We had both had a transfer at 10, both got Cody Simon at 9. I'm with you. I think he played better than being 9th on this list, but, you know, limited opportunity, limited stats from last year. I got him at 9 as well.
Well, I've got him one better than both of you. I actually have him at number 8. And here's the thing is, I'm with you, JR. I want to see him start this year. I think what we saw last year translates very well to what I think we can get. But I don't know that he's the most dynamic linebacker on this team.
He's definitely not.
And so, but I think he could be the most consistent. And I think that means a lot to Jim Knowles, which is why I have him where I have him.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll do my next one in a minute. He didn't have a single missed tackle since the Michigan State game. And like I said, he played 43 snaps against Missouri. So, I mean, like, he obviously has it in him. Like I said, I don't understand what Jim Knowles wasn't seeing. Like, was Jim Knowles that in love with Tommy Eichenberg and his seniority? I mean, I love Tommy Eichenberg. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm a huge fan. I'm glad he was playing. But at a certain point, he was hurt last year, and he wasn't the same player.
He wasn't. You're right. But there was a serious trust factor there, I think. And when Jim Knowles got here, the first person he gushed over was Tommy Eichenberg. So remember how they used to talk about how Tommy spoke in grunts?
Hey, Tommy, can you fill that gap? I can do it, coach. Kind of reminds me of that guy from The Waterboy. I can do it, coach. All right. We're on eight, right?
Yep.
Number eight is Kobe King from Penn State. I was telling Eric a little bit earlier, I'm not the highest on Kobe King. I did put him in my top 10 just because I feel like he deserves it. But, I mean, boy, he had 3 missed tackles against Maryland last year. He had 2 against Indiana. He had 2 to end the year against Michigan State and Ole Miss. I don't know. I don't think he's the best pass rusher in the world. And I mean, only 6 total pressures on almost 400 snaps last year. Like, I know he didn't pass rush the most out of anybody, but still, like, I don't know. I think he's consistent and I think he gets the job done, but I don't think he has a spectacular trait that you're looking for out of a linebacker. And I think Penn State needs that out of their linebacker this year.
JR, you're stealing my thunder, man.
Oh, man.
I've got Kobe King at 8 as well. You know, 6'1", 250, the guy's big, can step up big in the running game, but can he cover consistently? And can he be effective as a blitzer? Let's remember, Abdul Carter's bumped out that edge now. He's got a lot more responsibility now. So.
Okay, moving on to number 6, I believe, is what I'm on. I'm sorry.
7.
Number 4. 7th. Gosh, I'm looking backwards. The guy count backwards. I'm going with Wayne Matthews III, redshirt junior from Michigan State, transferred from Old Dominion. Listen to these stats, man. And I know, JR, you had him at 10th, if I'm not mistaken. But he had 135 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and 3 pass deflections. I don't care what level you're at. Them are some silly good stats, right? So will it translate? We'll see. But here's what's crazy about Michigan State. You guys ready for this? Chris, you and I last 2 years have ranked Cal Halliday.
Yeah.
As one of the top 10 in the league. This guy's starting over Cal Halliday. Cal Halliday's not starting his senior year at Michigan State. That's nutso. This guy must be special in order to supplant him, in my opinion. Any day, JR.
Oh, sorry. Devin asked about Kobe King moving into defensive end. That's Abdul Carter that is moving to defensive end. So,
yep. Sorry, and we had a big argument about that. JR and I did when we did our defensive line rankings because I was really high on him, and JR's like, he was a linebacker.
Don't worry, I think I have a hot take later for us to argue about more. So,
yeah, I think we do.
All right, number 7, right, for me. Again, I might be low on him. You guys might have him a whole lot higher, but Sonny Styles, I don't know. Like, he played safety, and he played a little bit of cornerback. Did I take it again, Chris?
I swear, JR and I have not talked since the last time he was on the show.
I need to start sending my rankings to you beforehand, Chris, so that way we don't have them all together. I think that he had a few troubles in his run fits last year when he was playing safety, trying to come in and do that. And obviously, like, that wasn't completely fair to him. So at the end of the day, like, I can't hold it too much against him, but he just has the physical athletic freakiness that that you need at linebacker for him to make the crazy plays that he's going to make. So whatever he's going to do this season, whether it's CJ Hicks, Sonny Styles, one of these two guys are going to go off just based off pure athleticism alone. So, but I have him 7th.
Yeah, I do as well. For me, you know, I think he's going to be a great fit at linebacker. I just have to see it. That's the big thing for me right now, is I just have to see it.
Are we sure that he's going to start over CJ Hicks?
No.
I think he'll play more. I don't know if he'll start.
So, okay, well, JR, that's an actual argument to what I was going to say next. If you're not sure he's going to start, or if you're not sure he's going to play more or start more than CJ Hicks, how can you have him this high in your ranking?
Like I said, I think he plays more. Yeah.
But he's not going to start? That makes zero sense.
No, there were games last year where Cody Simon played more than Steel Chambers, and Steel Chambers started. I think CJ Hicks is going to be a very nice piece that they move around different areas, and he's going to be very specialized as a pass rusher. I think CJ Hicks has a better understanding of the defense, and he's going to be that piece they put in there when they need more consistency. And at the end of the day, I think Jim Knowles relies more on the guys like Tommy Eichenberg, who are consistent and know his defense, more than the guys that he can kind of use as specialty pieces. And I think CJ Hicks is more of a specialty piece. I think we'll have a great year this year, but I don't see Jim Knowles trusting him to the extent that he will Cody Simon and Sonny Styles.
You think CJ Hicks has that Michael Hall Jr. type of year where he has huge stats given limited time?
Yeah, I can see that for sure. What do you think, Eric?
I think at about the end of July, beginning of August, when we break down our position groups, this is going to be a very contentious discussion. And I think that this is probably going into the season, one of the bigger storylines that the beat will cover is that linebacker room and who's going to get the playing time, that the coaching staff is going to be so manila in answering that it's going to become sickening to us. And then come game one, I think it all gets revealed on who they're going to give the first crack to.
Do you think there's any chance that it becomes a rotation?
Yes. And Tyler, I stood next to Gabe Powers yesterday. That dude is huge.
He's a big young man. Yeah.
He's AJ Hawk, Bobby Carpenter, big, like physically his presence.
And how was he wearing that long sleeve shirt out in that heat yesterday, man?
He's a beast. He's a beast. He's an absolute
Powers
beast.
Is going to depend on how much Jim Knowles and Ryan Day are willing to put in
rotate the backups. Yes, the and they need to. They have this, again. We've been preaching this forever, man. They've got to get these guys meaningful snaps when it counts. Adam, I saw your question, man. If we have time, we'll get to it at the end of the show about the slap on the wrist to the U of M. It's not going to be a slap on the wrist. Go read the article I just posted this morning on the OhioPodcast.com website. It is not going to be a slap on the wrist. It's going to get ugly. I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly up there. And it's already – even the coach who they fired has literally sued them now. Mm-hmm. So – okay.
Remember when they said they would sue the Big Ten and Jim Harbaugh wouldn't be suspended any games and they were going to put their fists down, and then all of a sudden they got in and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's the Michigan media for you. Don't believe them.
Gosh, we get off topic so easy here. Does Gabe hit as hard as AJ, James, or Bobby? Probably not right now, but I don't know that he won't.
He's aggressive, though. You watch his high school film.
He was aggressive with those little boys, man.
Yeah,
he was using one of those blocking dummy pads, and he was yelling at him to hit him. He's like, hit me. I was like, I'll do it. Put me in, coach. I'll hit you. It was awesome, man. It was great. Those boys were awesome. He's a good dude, dude. Okay,
right,
moving
on. What number are we on?
I have no idea.
Six.
It's up to me. Number six for me. Let's go with Jeffrey Bassa from Oregon. Bassa. 71 tackles, an interception, and one pass deflection. Get know this name, guys. Buckeye fans, get this name down. Jeffrey Bassa from Oregon. We need to watch out for him when we go to Eugene.
All right. My number six is, I think somebody already mentioned him already, but the James Madison transfer to Indiana. Boy, Indiana better have a good defense this year. Otherwise, they have all seniors too. Like, all of these guys are coming in from JMU. They're all seniors. I mean, they better do something this season. They're not going to win the Big Ten, but, really good player. He did struggle a little bit with tackling last year, so that was an issue for him. However, I felt like he was really good in run defense, felt like he was a better coverage linebacker than just about anybody else they had on the roster last year, had some very good games, and he played a ton of snaps. I mean, 57 snaps against Georgia Southern, 52 against UConn, 66 against Air Force. Now, you know, that is Air Force. They've, you know, you're going to have to play your linebackers a lot more snaps against them. But, I mean, nearly 500 snaps on the year for your linebacker. Yeah, he's good. 8 tackles against Georgia State. Very excited to see what he can do this year. And, I don't know. I think James Madison, I think they're going to bring those guys in and they're going to do pretty well on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep. Steely, that's, Jalen Walker for formerly of James Madison, now to Indiana.
Yeah. And you got to know he's going to get plenty of chances because that offense isn't going to do anything.
Yes. Well, Curtis Rourke's okay, but that's about it.
So I actually, Eric, I switched allegiances here. I went with you on this one. I've got Jeffrey Bassa in at number 6 as well. You know, I think you're right. I mean, he is a solid tackler. He is a weapon as a rusher. One thing that I did notice, though, is he does give up some catches in coverage. But, man, he does not give up a yard after the catch. Once they make that catch, he drops them right there. So he is going to be somebody to be reckoned with.
A comment from ABH, a new name I haven't seen in the chat before. Welcome to the OHL podcast, ABH. Man, there are so many players that need to see the field. This hope they really implement a fluid rotation. Great problem to have, though. Yes, they need to implement this. Absolutely. Agree with you 100%. Thank you for the comment. Number 5. Carson Bruner, senior from Washington, the Huskies, stayed there, didn't follow coach to Alabama. 86 tackles, 1 forced fumble, an interception, 3 pass deflections last year for the Pac-12 champions, and he is back for his senior year. Carson Bruner.
Mine is Rutgers. You guys know I'm a big Rutgers fan. So Rutgers, Muhammad Torre, however you pronounce it. One of the things I really liked about him was how much he got moved around on the defense last year. He was playing both the Mike and the Will linebacker, sometimes interchangeably in between games. Had a really nice game against Wisconsin. Only 5 tackles, but did a really good job in the run defense. Wasn't the best in the pass rush that game. He did have 2 pressures, but still, you know, a very good run defender in my mind. His worst game was against Ohio State, which, you know, most of these linebackers – going to find they have their worst game against Ohio State when they play them, but he had a very good tackling game against Miami, didn't miss a single tackle there, and just finished out the year very well. Only he had 1 missed tackle against Iowa, 2 against Maryland, but in those last 5 games, those were only 3 that he had to end the season. So I'm really excited to see what he can do this year, really excited to see his versatility again and see how they move him around on the field.
Bama, what'd I say? I started to say Michigan State, didn't I?
You might have. I don't know.
For who?
Bam. The guy from Washington.
Oh.
Because Oregon State, Washington, Northwest, got it.
Bower, yeah.
Bama. If I said that, I'm sorry. Good catch, Donald. Chris?
So, number 5 for me, and some people have him higher. I mean, Sports Grid has this guy as the best linebacker in the Big Ten. You know, Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the 5th best in the country. I don't see it not coming off of an injury, but I've got Jayshon Barham from Michigan, the transfer from Maryland.
Why?
He had a great freshman year.
Okay.
You know, he was cut short by injury last year, still had 37 tackles, 3 sacks, an interception, a pass defense. I just really feel like this guy can be one of those guys that wreaks havoc.
I've seen him on a lot of the national lists. And I don't get it.
Who, the guy that went from Maryland to Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Michigan fans are just hyping him up.
Yeah. Okay, where are we at now? We're at
number four.
All right, here's my one you guys are not going to like. I've got Kydren Jenkins from Purdue, senior linebacker. Only 56 tackles last year, but 7.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 pass deflection. His stats have gotten better every single year, and he's going to be the team captain this year on defense for Purdue. Is it a little high? Maybe. But you show me anybody else on this list who has 7.5 sacks.
Fair enough.
Go ahead, JR.
I just think sacks isn't everything. Like, okay, great, you got sacks, but I watched him play run defense last year, and the man was lost.
Or lack of run defense.
Yeah, I was going to say, there were times when he was out there, and, like, the hole was right in front of him, and he was like, whoop. I think he's a really, really good pass rusher, but, man, his run defense, I mean, there were times
half the game, brother.
Well, it's true. It is. But
actually, it's about a third of the game. You got run defense and coverage as well, man.
You guys talk about how well he does without
Nick Skort in there too, because that was quite the dynamic pass rushing duo they had between the two of them. So I'd like to see how.
Can I give you another reason why I think he does well?
Sure.
Head coach Ryan Walters, defensive guy, he's going to scheme him up good.
He did scheme him up well last year. With Nick Skorton. So we'll see.
What's the most? Oh, good question, Devin. Well, I tell you what. Let's get through our list, and then we'll answer this as we talk about number one, because I guarantee you, number one's probably the same for all of us. But we will talk about this right before we give number one. All right, continue.
All right, we're on number four, right?
Yep.
My number four is a Maryland linebacker, but not that dirty one that went to the team up north. It is Donnell Brown. He did play for Maryland last year, had a pretty good year. He was at St. Francis the year before that. The man has over 1,500 snaps in his career, over 1,500 snaps in his entire career. So 500 his freshman year, 600 at St. Francis, 460 last year, so I didn't play as much at Maryland. His numbers did dip a little bit, only 22 tackles, only 3 sacks to 5-7 the year before. But I think he just needed a year to get up to the Big Ten level and get better. And I think he's gonna have a really good year. He is kind of more of an edge guy, but Maryland has him listed as a linebacker. So when in doubt, I just go to the roster page on the website and see what they have him listed as.
Number four, I've got Muhammad Torrey from Rutgers. 92 tackles, 4.5 sacks, a forced fumble, an interception, 2 passes defensed. I think the guy's a disruptor. You know, he played a lot off the edge in 2022, but the transition to linebacker was smooth last year, and I think he's going to have a great year this year.
All right, we're on to number three. So our top three, here we go. Number three for me is Nick Jackson, graduate senior from Iowa, had 110 tackles last year, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 pass deflections. Very solid play, Nick Jackson.
Sorry, I'm responding to Dylan in the chat. All right, my number three, I'm going to have two guys from the same school here in my top three, so don't judge me.
I think we all do.
One of mine, Iowa linebacker Nick Jackson. Oh my gosh, he was incredibly impressive last year. 2 games where he had 11 tackles against Penn State and against Tennessee. Now, he did have 3 missed tackles against Tennessee. However, I don't know if that was entirely on him. I mean, missed tackles are on the player, but he had a number of games where he had 0 missed tackles all season long. And when you look at how many snaps he was playing, guys, the guy played almost 900 snaps, almost 900 snaps.
That's never outrageous. Coming off the field. But I will say this, Iowa defensively gets to play a lot more snaps than anybody else in college
their
football.
Their offense is so god awful.
Yes. And that was my thing with another guy I'll mention here soon, and why I didn't vote for him to be Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year is that his stats do get inflated. But guys, 900 snaps, guess how many missed tackles he had total?
5.
8.
3.
Only 8. I mean, that's that's one missed tackle for every 100 snaps. I mean, just ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. This guy is a surefire tackler. Just knows where to be on the field. Yeah, Nick Jackson. I wish he would have transferred to Ohio State.
I almost feel like, guys, we may be looking at the same top three. I've got Nick Jackson at three as well.
Yeah, we're not.
No, okay.
No, we're not. Jay, I saw JR's list, and we had a big old long discussion about this next guy for him. All right, number two for me. Number two for me. You guys, I might be becoming more of a closet Rutgers fan than JR is. I know JR with that robe.
I'm not in the closet. I am out in the open, buddy.
Number two for me from Rutgers, Mohamed Touré. 92 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 interception, 2 pass deflections. Fifth-year senior. He is solid can be. And just like what's-his-name, the running back on offense for them, he's basically the same thing on defense for them.
Manungai,
yeah. I mean, Mohamed and Manungai. I mean, those two guys are going to help lead Rutgers to the third best record in the Big Ten this year. You heard it here first. Mark it down. Hot take. Rutgers finishes behind Ohio State and Oregon for the best record in the Big Ten this season, which means
you got JR all kinds of excitement.
Rutgers is going to make the freaking playoffs this year. How about those apples? Forget it, James Franklin. You're not going to the playoffs. Ferentz from Iowa, you're not going to the playoffs. Rutgers football is going. Yes, that's right. That was McMahon there. He's the spokesperson for Rutgers. Rutgers football. Playoff bound. Look at the chat. They're like, no way. Guys, are you? I'll tell you. I'll show you why in just a minute. Okay? I'll show you why in just a minute. Let's get through the rest of the list. JR, explain to why everybody here, number two, you're off your rocker. Go for it.
Okay. First thing first, I have to give, for that take, I have to give a woo! And excitement, just how excited you got me. Number two, okay, so some of you guys are probably not even going to hear about this guy, and that's okay. I know that this is like a hot take of hot takes, but it's boring when we all just have the same top three. So JR might be on shrooms after this. Dolan, you can tell me that afterward. But Dominic DeLuca, the Penn State linebacker, played well for them all last year, could do a little bit of both this year, most likely going to be playing well as well, but he can go and he can play Mike as well. He had 42 snaps against Ole Miss, did not miss a single tackle, had a good game against them. I know it doesn't make sense, but every time I watched Penn State last year, if anybody, like, go back and watch that Michigan game. When he played against Michigan, if they had DeLuca in the game, he was always in the right spot to fill his gap. And you can't say the same for Abdul Carter. You can't say the same for Kobe King. I get it. Like, it's weird, but there is something to be said about a guy who is just always in the right spot, knows where to be. And, yeah, maybe he didn't finish the job every single time, but, yeah, that's my hot take. Dominic DeLuca. Also, how can you not like saying that name? DeLuca. Everybody say it with me. DeLuca, right? If you at home said it with me, I appreciate you.
Wow. Dominic DeLuca.
Did you even have him? He's not in your top 10, is he?
I've never even heard of Dominic DeLuca. Wow. No, for me, and
Chris is like, I gotta move on before I say something mean.
I'm trying to figure it out, man. I'm trying to figure out Dominic DeLuca for you, but
there we go. Devin had a really good comment there.
You all want to see someone on shrooms.
So I had Mueller from Northwestern in it at two.
Yes.
110 tackles, 5 sacks, forced fumble, 3 interceptions, 2 passes defensed. Great numbers. You know, he is prone to missing a tackle from time to time, but man, this guy is solid. He's solid. And he covers
Mueller. Mueller.
Mueller. Mueller.
So instead of Bueller, Mueller. Mueller. Oh, JR, you missed your calling as a teacher. You had me. I wanted to say it with you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. My wife's a very good teacher. I could join her in her classroom one day.
All right, guys. So let's go back up to Devin's question before we all drop who's number one, who everybody knows. And then, actually, let's do this first one. Jeremy Moreland, $10 holler. Who is the next Big Ten recruits to commit to the Bucks, and who is fraud just playing us? We're going to do that. We're going to answer your question right after the commercial break. So you will be first up on deck. Thank you for the $10 super chat, Jeremy. Wanted to make sure that I let you know we saw that. We will get to that. Okay, let's see. It was Devin's question. What do we look for in a linebacker? And he laid it out for us. Tackles, interceptions. I think Coconut chimed in with like leadership, pass deflections, forced fumbles. Like what are we looking for? Number one for me is tackles. Mm-hmm. And even half tackles add up. That means you're around the ball. When we were talking to yesterday.
Jimmy Bell.
To Jimmy Bell. I mentioned my cousin, Ryan Miller, to him, who he played with. And what did he say? Ryan was always around the football. Okay? What makes a good linebacker good is they have a nose for the football. I'm about to give you all a hot take. This guy had a nose for the football. The problem was he couldn't get there in time because he wasn't fast enough. Tough Borland. If Tough Borland would have had Steel Chambers' athleticism,
look out.
That guy would have been an All-American. He had a nose for the football. He just didn't have the wheels, man. Just didn't have the wheels. And it killed Aaron. I mean, every week.
Somewhere right now, Aaron is crying that you mentioned his name.
Yeah, but go back and watch the film, man. He knew where the football was going.
He just couldn't get there.
So tackles are important to me because it shows me that you understand football, you can read and react, you can anticipate, and you get to the football. Other people are mentioning covering tight ends is important. In today's game, yes. Today's tight ends are going to be a little bit smaller, a little bit more athletic because they have to do so many more things than just run stopping, which is what football was in the 80s and most of the 90s for a majority. We sat next to Gabe Powers. We were impressed, but we also stood next to who?
Garrett Stover.
Garrett Stover is shorter than me. I'm 5'11". Now I will say this: he don't have an ounce of fat on him.
No,
I mean the dude is chiseled. He's your prototypical linebacker now. Think James Laurinaitis. James Laurinaitis isn't huge. He wasn't big.
He's but mean.
he had a nose for the football, right? And he could do more things than just tackle. So tackling is important to me, but you also have to be super athletic in today's game, cover, you know, be able to cover those tight ends, step back in coverage if you need to, fill a gap. I mean, you got to have versatility, which is why I think CJ Hicks has the opportunity to become one of the better linebackers we've seen, because I think that guy has got size, speed. He just needs to put it all together. JR, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I look for the most is, you know, how often they miss tackles. I brought it up with almost every single person. You know, it's great if you can get there. It's great if you know how to get there. But, I mean, if you get there and you can't finish the job, sometimes it's okay because your other guy is there and maybe they help it out. But, I mean, when you miss a tackle, sometimes that's the difference between, you know, 1 or 4 yards. And so at the end of the day, like, you can't afford to be to be missing that many, in my opinion. And that's one of the reasons why I like these Iowa linebackers so much, is because they are just so technically sound, and you do hardly ever see them miss tackles.
Yeah, I agree. You know, leadership's a great quality in a linebacker, and it's a necessary quality, but you got to be able to perform the simple function of pure tackling at the highest level. You know, yes, you do need to be able to get out and cover a little bit in coverage. Yes, you do need to be able to blitz and have an impact on the pass rush. But, man, you got to tackle. And when you have the opportunity, you've got to be a ball hawk. Whether it's stripping the ball, whether it's picking up the fumble, whether it's getting the interception, be near the ball and make a play with it.
Yeah, Tyler, well said. Beautiful. That's well said, Tyler. That's the difference. Have a good defense, and that's the difference between having a good defense and having a fantastic defense or a horrible defense. It's the number of missed tackles. If you don't miss any tackles as a defense at any position, absolutely. All right, number one. Here we go. It's not even a debate. Jay Higgins.
Yeah, how can you have 171 tackles and not be the number one linebacker on the board? 171 tackles. That's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, he threw in, two sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, an interception. Oh, by the way, he defended some three passes along the way. But 171 flipping tackles. That's sick.
That is, it's
especially
not even...
when you got a teammate who racked up another 110.
Right. Yeah. Eric Boogs. That's what when you get those telemarketers from, you know, from other countries that call you, he's a Mr. Eric Boogs there. That's the best. All right, man. Hey, that was a lot of fun. There you go. We'll Chris and I will be tallying these up and give you our consensus list in a future video. We're going to go to our quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to answer all of those recruiting questions from the big recruiting weekend, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about how we're going to how the Ohio State plans on taking care of this shared revenue. Hang tight.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
All right.
All right. What was that super chat question?
I'm reading through this question from John Eric. He played the linebackers because he ain't never had a star. Don't know what one looks like. And if you have linebackers, you can't understand the playbook or understand the plays after years. I think you need a coach. Just trying to figure out what that's in response to. It's a good comment. I just didn't know what it was in response to. All right, Jeremy Moreland. Who is the next big recruit to commit to the Bucks, and who is a fraud just playing us? All right, JR, give us your recruiting news and notes from today and this weekend. This was a massive recruiting weekend for Ohio State.
All right, so the next Buckeye to commit will be Brody Lennon. That will happen very soon. The fraud question is interesting because he could either be a fraud or he could commit tomorrow. It's like, this is so weird. All right, so I don't want to get, like, I want to choose my words very carefully because there's been a lot said about him that I don't feel comfortable saying, but if you go on Twitter, I'm sure you could find it. Jordan Davison was here this weekend, and I was on record making a video that I thought Jordan Davison would be one of the next five players to commit to Ohio State. I still think that Ohio State is in very good position for him. However, I think that if anybody listens to Juck, which I'm sure a lot of people do, Juck had a very good thought on the NIL front with Jordan Davison, and that he might be getting a lot more offered than maybe Ohio State has had anticipated. And right now, Ohio State is not going to pay a top running back what they would normally get paid. If Ohio State is going to bring in Jordan Davison, it's going to be for a pay cut, I believe, and from what I've been told. So, you know, does that make him a fraud? I don't know if that makes him a fraud, but it's definitely somebody that a month ago everybody thought was going to be in the class, and even I thought, you know, just last night, or no, two nights ago, was going to be in the class. Again, I still think we probably get him, but it's a lot more in question now than it was. And I do want to say this. Michigan is not completely out of it. I know they were kind of getting clowned when he visited Michigan and people said he left early and he was liking Coach Lachlan tweets and stuff like that. I don't know the best way to put it, but I'll say this. Michigan's goal this offseason is to try and tarnish Ohio State's offseason. They know that they are not going to have nearly as good of an offseason as Ohio State, so their goal is to try and steal, pry, and take away from Ohio State to try to make it seem like they are superior. Take Tony Alford, for example, right? They needed a running back coach. They knew Tony Alford wasn't exactly happy. Was Tony Alford the best hire they could have possibly made? You asked me, he got, two recruits recently, running back recruits that, he probably could have done better than. I don't mean to be disrespectful to those guys, but he probably could have done better than them. And on top of that, they got Aaron Dunston, who, they offered her a good amount of money in a higher position when they could have gone a lot of different places to go get somebody for that position. But obviously they targeted somebody who's at Ohio State. And that is what Sherrone Moore is focusing a lot on this offseason, is trying to ingratiate himself with the fan base because he knows they're not going to live up to what they just did. Sherrone Moore knows they don't have the talent to be anywhere near 12-0, 11-1, anything like that. He knows that it's going to be very, very difficult for them to make the playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen. The odds are out there saying it could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. And he's trying to ingratiate himself by sticking it to Ohio State fans. And he has his little media minions out there doing it, with the media as best they can. So I can keep going if you guys want me to, or if you guys have any thoughts on that, we can stop for a second.
It's recruiting 101. It's just recruiting. It's going to happen. I don't know that he commits there, though.
Jordan to Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he goes to Oregon if he doesn't go to Ohio State.
That's what
I just don't think it's – like, like 2 days ago, I would have told you no way he goes to Michigan. I think it's more of a possibility. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's more of a possibility now than it was before. So
you want to respond to this from Devin? Davison would be the third running back there and not at OSU for real?
Okay, so the way that Michigan has their class set up, again, they weren't supposed to take three running backs, but how can you kick it to Ohio State is you take three running backs just like Ohio State wanted to take three running backs and you get their top guy instead of them getting their top guy. I'm telling you guys, like, Michigan is thinking a lot about Ohio State. You would think the team that won 3 years in a row would be like, nope, we're going to do our own thing and just leave them in the back burner. No, they're doing anything they can to try and hurt Ohio State publicly because Sharon Moore wants to get that one up on Ryan Day. And I think the three running back class at Michigan looks more appealing to Jordan Davison because you have a guy coming off an ACL injury that, you know, is a bit of a risk, and you have a three-star guy coming in that, you know, I'm not saying he's bad, but he's properly rated as a three-star guy. You know, he's doesn't have this unique trait that he could build off of or something like that, like I believe Isaiah West has. And so, yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Billy was asking about him. Guys, dare I say, we're getting David Sanders Jr. From everything I heard and from everything that I read, it could not have gone better. It was an absolute home run. The NIL was exactly what he's looking for. He hit it off with every single offensive lineman in the room. Jake Cook knows David Sanders Jr. I don't know if anybody knows that. He knows David Sanders Jr. They've done some camps and stuff like that together, and they've gotten along really well. And so when Jake Cook made his announcement this weekend that he was committing to Ohio State, that was really encouraging for David Sanders and the love that Jake Cook got online and the way people embraced him and stuff like that. David Sanders took notice of that.
Man, that makes me feel good, dude.
I tell
you, awesome.
If we don't get him, I will cry. Don't get me wrong. but I really, really think, like, the best way I can describe it is it's first and goal. We're on the 2-yard line. Our offensive line together weighs like 1,500 pounds, and the defensive line of the other team has like two defensive linemen, and they both weigh 150. I mean, like,
well, and if you're playing Notre Dame,
you just got to punch it in, Justin Fry. Just finish the job. That's all you got to do.
If you're playing Notre Dame, you can subtract another 250 or 300 from that defensive line because they're missing.
That was my thought, was like, how do I compare this to Notre Dame missing a defensive lineman? It's hard because I never want to say it's done until he signs his national letter of intent because Georgia wants him. Georgia wants him bad.
But
the problem is he doesn't gel with Georgia like he gels with Ohio State.
If he goes to the SEC, he's not going to Georgia. It's Tennessee.
He likes Tennessee too.
They don't even know his name there.
But they don't know. Yeah. They don't even know how to spell his name.
But I that's the thing is, like, Tennessee wants him bad too, but there is something about that Georgia aura or that, like, Georgia swag or whatever that they have where, like, if Kirby just keeps coming after you relentlessly, like, you tell me, who's going to recruit better, Kirby Smart or Justin Fry? Like, let's be honest.
Well,
Justin Fry's getting better, but still, like.
That's where this comment comes into play. Ryan Day better cross the line. Don't let Fry try.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan Day needs to close this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw in a little
Chip
Kelly. He does.
And he's been very involved in it. Sorry, Chris. What'd you say?
No, I said throw in a little Chip Kelly while you're at it. Just get all those guys in there.
All right. Now, you brought up Jake Cook. I am so thrilled to death that this kid chose Ohio. Like, I have been preaching this forever, that this kid is – he bleeds scarlet and gray. Yes. These are the kids you want. It's okay to take 3-star kids from Ohio – because they're the ones are going to teach and preach the rivalry to these kids you're bringing in, like David Sanders, man. This kid, mark it down. This is Pat Elflein. I'm telling you, this is Pat Elflein made over.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Cook, and I can't even begin to describe, like, how much people were saying from that weekend he brought. Like, he's not the most highly rated recruit, but – just like the joy that everybody felt with him being there, him committing, like that moment and everything. And like, that's the thing, like David Sanders Jr., he knew Jake Cook's story because, like I said, they knew each other before coming into this. And there's other guys in Ohio that kind of know of Jake Cook's story and who he is, and like just the like everything that he brought to the weekend. I talked to one person who said the weekend would not have been the same if Jake Cook wasn't there.
Yep. I've watched him play in person. They played Delaware last year, and I will give props to my I guess he's a nephew through marriage. He schooled him. but he's going to play Division II on a scholarship, and he's a year older. And from what I saw then to what I see now, Jake Cook is just leaps and bounds better. He's dropped more weight. He's done great in the camps, and he's going to have an amazing senior year. Can't wait for that one. All right, anything else before I ask you the weekly question that I'm sure you're tired of answering?
No, if there's any names people want to get to in the chat, I can answer.
There are. Let me see.
Do my best. I know you've been starring some, but go ahead and start with whatever you're going to ask about Eric, and then we'll get to those.
Yep. So was there anybody else this weekend that was on – well, first off, everything's good with Naeem Offord in Ohio State, right?
Oh yeah. Naeem's solid.
He was on campus this weekend, right? Yeah, I think I saw his videos. Yeah,
Naeem Offord. Yeah, he
Sanchez.
I'll tell you, anytime you get Naeem Offord around the Sanchez family, I mean, that just like solidifies it. That's the problem, is he like gets away from the Sanchez family, gets away from Ohio State, and he starts kind of eating up the attention a little bit, which like I would too. Like if I was a 17, 18 year old, I would too. Like I don't blame him. But like once he gets back around the Sanchez family, once he gets back around Ohio State, especially Walt, like he knows like this is where I have to be.
Okay. McNutt, he was over in Oregon this weekend.
Yeah, I'm one of the pessimistic people on McNutt.
I'm opposite than you.
I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. I think McNutt is just one of those cats that he just kind of wants to, you know, do his own thing and spread his wings. And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stories going out there about his family and stuff like that. I don't really want to get into that just because it's not really my place to comment on, you know, somebody else's family like that. So I try to stay away from all that. But at the end of the day, like, I think you have to take an official visit in the summer. Like, he had an unofficial before the official visit started, and I get that. But, like, maybe I'll feel better if he takes an official visit during the season. But I also got Jamie French telling me that he's going to come back for an official visit during the season. And guess what? Ohio State is almost done with their wide receiver class. So –
yeah,
and Ohio State's almost done with their safety class if they're not done already. So
he's soaking in, like you just said, he's soaking in all that attention. But he comes home to the state of Ohio after the end of every visit. Trust
Eric
me.
Eric is the eternal optimist.
When school starts and he's sitting in class and he's getting a text from all these different coaches and all his friends are sitting around him, which coach that he gets a text from are they going to be buzzed about the most?
It's a good point. Again, if he comes back during the season for an official visit, I might feel differently. But for now, it's just kind of talk.
All right.
For me.
How about
I want to see it happen.
Malik Autry, isn't he committed to
Auburn?
Auburn? Okay.
Malik Autry, if Ohio State flips him, it's going to be toward the end of the season. What needs to happen for Malik Autry to come to Ohio State is Auburn just needs to completely flop this season. I mean, they just need to be bad. They need to not make a bowl game. They need to, you know, Hugh Freeze needs to, like, you know, have some kind of tantrum that's just embarrassing. The hard part with Malik Autry is everybody around him wants him to go to Auburn. Like, we talk about, like, mom wants them to go here, dad wants him to go there, like, Malik Autry, everybody around him is huge Auburn fans. I forget who it was. Somebody at Buckeye Huddle said you could hit a golf ball from his backyard to the Auburn campus or something like that. I mean, like, pulling him out of Auburn is going to be
the Jake Cook
difficult.
Effect. It's the Jake Cook effect. Absolutely.
But the difference is Auburn sucks. So, like,
true that.
It could happen. Like, I'm not putting anything aside. Like, I think Ohio State is running second right now to Auburn. I think if he does decommit from Auburn, he comes to Ohio State. But I would be much – I think it would be much more likely that he is a signing day flip rather than he flips to Ohio State and commits altogether. Like, this is going to be one that we're going to be talking about. As long as you continue to hear him be talked about, that's good news. It's just going to depend. Does he continue to show interest? Does Auburn stink this year? We'll see.
So if he doesn't sign on early signing day with Auburn, that's when your antenna goes up.
Or he could sign with Ohio State on early signing day. Okay. I mean, like, look at Edric Houston last year. Edric Houston almost went to Alabama and flipped from Ohio State. Now, Ohio State was able to keep him. But I wouldn't be surprised if we wake up on early signing day and you have Steve Wiltfong and some other people saying, hey, Malik Autry, there's some rumors about him in Ohio State. Like, I think that's the most likely path to Malik Autry coming to Ohio State rather than, like, they flip him during the season or something like that.
79 Steely Matt, offered is solid, correct?
Yes, super solid.
Okay. Sean Strock, how about Dorian Brew?
Dorian Brew is very interesting. He's so quiet and he's so reserved. It's really, really hard to get a read on him. I don't think Ohio State views it this way, but I think he does, that he doesn't want to be the third cornerback in the class. Like I said, Ohio State doesn't view it that way. Ohio State sees him as somebody who is going to play that, like, Jordan Hancock role a little bit, kind of a safety slash cornerback there in the slot, and do a really good job with that. It's kind of like Justin Hill, they're recruiting him to be Jack. They're, like, recruiting Dorian Brew to have this position. However, whenever you're recruiting a person for that kind of specialty position, it is really difficult. And so right now you have USC telling him, come be the number one cornerback, come start next year, or your freshman year or your sophomore year at USC, because we need you and we're about to be legit this year. And also, here's some money. And that's the other piece of it too. It's Ohio State is not the highest bidder. I don't even think Ohio State's the second highest bidder for Dorian Brew. Because the secondary class is already so good, I think they're prioritizing NIL to some other positions. And so if Dorian Brew does come, it's going to be for a discount. Unless something changes, that's what I think.
Did Paris Johnson's mother make it to Columbus this weekend to help out with the Sanders family?
I don't know if she made it, but I know she talked to David Sanders' mom. I think she lives in Columbus, or, like, visits Columbus often, or has a house there or something like that.
They're originally from Cincinnati, so it's not like it's a long drive or anything.
Yeah, so I can't remember if she moved up there or something. I don't think Paris was there, but I know for a fact Monica talked to David Sanders' mom, whether it was this weekend or whether it was before the weekend or something like that. She did talk to her.
All right, I'm trying to go. I'm going through the chat, making sure we haven't missed anything. Ryan Wickerham says she lives in Pickerington now.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. So that's Columbus. You, yep. Thank you. Devin, Paris is in Paris.
Yeah, I heard Scoop say that. That was funny. I've heard different things. I heard Scoop say he's in Paris. I heard somebody else say he was coming back for the end of the weekend and he was going to talk to David Sanders before he left. I don't know what to believe, so I just say he's somewhere. Who knows? Paris Johnson has a busy life.
I got one more question for you. I don't think I've seen this in the chat. Our other commit this week, 3-star quarterback / make him a wide receiver from Ontario Mansfield, Ohio. I know this because I'm from Knox County. We played Ontario in sports. So what do you think, man? What do you think about that pickup?
I love it.
I heard someone describe him. Who was the Heisman-winning quarterback plays at Baltimore now from Louisville?
Lamar Jackson.
Thank you. Gosh, brain fart. I heard someone say he's a Lamar Jackson type of quarterback, and you watch his film, man. He's got speed. I mean, it's speed on speed. Obviously, they're going to bring him here to make him a wide receiver. And what I told someone is I see Paris Campbell, man, is what I see. Former quarterback, turned wide receiver, major wheels.
Yeah, Major Wheels. It'll be interesting to see if BP, that's what Berm calls him, so that's kind of what I've called him. And I hear a lot of people call him different pronunciations, so I just call him BP. But I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, that's kind of all he has is his wheels. But I don't know. Like, I kind of like that he's not playing wide receiver his senior year. No bad habits. He's going to get in there. And from everything I heard at camp, everything Brian Hartline told him to do, like, that was one of the reasons he got the offer. Is like, Brian Hartline pulled him aside, and he told him what to do, and BP would be like, okay, so you want me to do this, this, this? And he was like, yeah, do that exactly. You go out there, and boom, he does it the right way, right away. Like, this isn't somebody that he had to, like, really try to get into. And that's something that gets underrated about these camps, is how guys come in, not only are they freaky athletic, and not only can they do these things, but, like, they're coachable. And that's something that BP is that he comes in and he is completely ready to be coached and do whatever Brian Hartline tells him to do. And I like that. I like that he's going to play quarterback. He's going to come in, zero bad habits, and he's just going to be a sponge for 3 or 4 years. And Brian Hartline's going to turn him into something special, I think. And he's freaky athletic. 6'4", 180, like, shoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So, do you have any questions for him, Chris? I'm looking through the chat.
No,
I don't think
we
have any.
No, I think
we
covered everything, man.
Beautiful. All right. So this week, Chris.
Oh, one more thing. Sorry.
Yes.
Zion Grady, Ziggy. We talked about him. Remember when he came out on a visit? We said silent commit. Things are still looking great. Things are still looking great. And he's now, good, guys. He is good.
I did hear, I was reading some podcasts or reading some articles from Penn State bloggers that Zaire Mathis from Pennsylvania is taking a visit to Penn State.
Yes, so, he is. Okay. It's possible he might move on. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this week, word came out, and this was through an article with the Columbus Dispatch, that Ross Bjork said, we plan on spending the full allotment given to us for revenue sharing for our athletes in this for next season. So this is 2025 when they're able to do this. And they, here's the thing, there is well over 1,000 athletes at Ohio State spanning 36 or 38?
36 varsity sports.
36 varsity sports. Chris, take it away.
So for those who don't know, as Eric said, the NCAA approved the revenue sharing. Now, it's still got to wait. There's some court issues with it. But if that all goes through, what's going to happen is the member universities will be able to pay 22% of their revenues based on media deals, sponsorships, and ticket sales. The anticipated revenue would be roughly $22 million. The player share would be $22 million during 2025. Now, Bjork has stated that we would adhere to Title IX. And for those of you not familiar with Title IX, which I'm sure most of you are, that means that both men's and women's sports would be receiving payments, because we're not going to discriminate. With Title IX, that's what it says, is they cannot discriminate between the men's and the women's sports. He did not say exactly how it would be split. He just did say, we are committed to Title IX. We have to be. It's the right thing to do, but it's also federal law. So as you said, Eric, 36 varsity sports, only two of which actually make money.
Yeah, that was surprising to me.
That's football and men's basketball. So, according to Bjork, they're going to receive more financial support than the other teams, obviously. Three other programs, the women's basketball, the wrestling, the women's volleyball, have strong followings. They do generate moderate revenues, although they still don't quite pay for themselves. They're going to receive some special considerations as well. So that's five programs. That leaves 31 other programs that are just losing money. However, those programs have brought quite a bit of notoriety and national championship success in recent years. So at least some of those programs are obviously going to receive some funding. Then Bjork concluded, and I thought this was interesting, by stating there's going to be some tough decisions ahead. So, as you said, Eric, 36 varsity sports, just over 1,000 athletes. I've got some ideas, but I'm curious to see what you guys say. My first question to you guys is, how would you divide the money?
Oof.
Because I've got a rough framework.
I think obviously half of that money goes to basketball and football.
Okay.
Half, at least half.
JR, your thought? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
If you split it evenly amongst the – and Devin said before he left, have a good night, Devin, that he heard we had 1,300 athletes, scholarship athlets. $22 million divided by 1,300 scholarship athletes is just under $17,000 per athlete. There's a lot of those athletes that I think would be very happy to receive $5,000. Okay. So
you throw that number out there and I'll tell you why.
So I think you give somewhere in the ballpark of $5,000 to the athletes that don't make money. And the rest you split amongst the other five sports that either break even or are making money. And obviously football brings in the most, so it only makes sense that they would get the most. Okay. Now, what that number looks like, I don't have an exact number. I could probably sit down and really spend an afternoon trying to tear into those numbers to come up with something, but at this, right off the top of my head, I don't have that number.
JR, you have any thoughts?
I do think that, you know, football and basketball be prioritized, but at the end of the day, with all this stuff, like, I still think NIL is going to be a thing, and I still think that the schools that do NIL the best are going to be the ones that, you know, get the best kids and do that kind of stuff, because the NCAA can police all this stuff with how much schools can pay and contracts and stuff like that, but they can't police NIL, and I think that schools like Ohio State, this sets up well for, because other schools are going to have a cap, and Ohio State's going to say, here's our cap, now the foundation, limitless.
Yeah, absolutely. So my concept was this. You give 70%, or $15.4 million, to the football and basketball programs, men's basketball. Now, granted, each player is going to be taken individually, or each, you know, maybe it's based on whether you're a starter or a reserve, that type of thing. Obviously, it's going to be varying. But that still comes out to roughly $118,000 per player in those programs. I think you go 10% to the programs, which are those ones on the brink, the women's basketball, wrestling, women's volleyball. Now, it's only $2.2 million, but they've only got 60 athletes in those programs. So that's $36,500 per. And then if you look at the remaining $4.4 million, you split that between the 800 or so athletes in the remaining sports, it's roughly $5,500 per athlete. I mean, I feel like that is probably the best way to attack it. And again, some people are going to get more, some people are going to get less. But I think that is the most logical way to approach that. I had a couple other questions to kind of go along with this, guys. And give it your ideas in the chat as well. So, do you think that revenue sharing is going to lead to the university dissolving the varsity sports, which maybe aren't contributing to the bottom line or which are sucking up the most? What do you think, JR?
I don't know. I do think they're going to suck up a good amount, but I don't know. Like all of this stuff just seems so foreign to me. It seems like there's just so much mystery with it all. I'm glad you've thought a lot more about it and are giving your take on it, because it's all very interesting. But I don't know. Like, this is my first time really pondering some of this stuff. All I know is I don't want it to be equal. I don't want, you know, the swim team to be making the same as the football team or something like that. Number one, they don't bring in the same amount of revenue. And number two, they don't have the same amount of players on their team. Like, I feel like that needs to be prioritized, is how many players on a team, you know, certain sports have and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. What exactly was your question again, Chris?
Do you think that revenue sharing is going to lead to the university dissolving some of those sports that are sucking up the most money as far as that are just draining it?
It has to. It has to. We've already.
Ohio State won't let it happen.
They might not have a choice.
The SEC will do it.
They might not have a choice.
Smith would not let it happen. Gene Smith's baby was the Olympic sports.
One of the things, if you're a member here for $3.99 a month, it's all it costs, $3.99 a month. Chris and I dove into this topic weeks ago, and the question was the tough decisions that Ross Bjork is going to have to make as athletic director of Ohio State come day one. And one of those was looking at every varsity sport at Ohio State and determining which ones might need to be cut. And there are some that are way too expensive because of how many kids they have that offer nothing to the university beyond just that sport. Ohio State has won, it's like 28 in a row, consecutive national championships in synchronized swimming. Because there's only 8 schools in the country that have it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
There are, listen, look at hockey. Let's look at hockey. There are 6 teams in the Big Ten who have hockey. Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. 5, 6, 6, and the Notre Dame is 7, if I'm not missing any. The rest of them, Purdue, Indiana, they all have club teams.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that with some of these sports? They can be club teams. By the way, we have an amazing club football team.
We do.
They won national championships. So there's
they sent us Xavier Johnson.
That's right. There's no reason that we have to hold on to these 36 sports like and clutch it like it's an idol. There's no reason for it. They could be, some of them can go club. They can go to the club.
It gave Gene Smith the reason to build buildings.
It did. It did.
That's what it comes down to.
It did. So we'll see. I think some of them are going to have to get moved to club status.
Yeah.
That's just my take.
Okay, 2 more questions. Go ahead, Eric.
We've got, I want you to answer some of these questions though, Chris.
Okay.
They're really good.
Go ahead.
Some of them are just like amazing. This one, JR might actually have to answer for us. I don't know. Maybe you know, Chris. So the foundation is just for football, correct? I thought they also did basketball.
They do basketball as well.
They started out as just basketball, but then 1870.
Yeah.
And so then they had to do football too.
Okay. This is another good one.
1870 is better now. Hey, I want to end it on that. 1870 is better now. They had some problems there for a while, and guys weren't getting paid, and the foundation came in and scooped it up.
What do you do with walk-ons? Are they considered volunteers?
Now, here becomes the issue, Eric. I calculated those numbers figuring 115 guys on the squad. You know, you've only got 85 scholarship athletes. That includes 30 walk-ons. However, there's a good chance that NIL and, or not so much NIL, but revenue sharing, but NIL as well, forces squads to go down to just the
well, the NCAA is going to do that. I thought that they were going to vote to do away with walk-ons.
They were talking about eliminating walk-ons.
If they eliminate walk-ons, they have to raise scholarships to 95, don't they? They would have to.
You would think, but
especially given how many kids jump in and out of the portal. And by the way, someone take a snapshot of JR right now. that was a little bit of a. That was a little.
I was pondering for a minute.
That's a picture we need to have. That was funny. Any other things before we let Chris yet? Okay, go to your next question, Chris. I'll see if I can't find any more. And by the way, there's a lot of jersey talk on here that I'll let you answer to at the end of the show.
So, with NIL and revenue sharing in place now, How long do you think it is, Eric, before we have a players' union in college football?
3 years. JR? I was gonna say five, but the way things are moving, it's moving so quick.
Two.
Yeah, I was figuring between 3 and 4 years, but I could see it in as soon as two. You know, the players have already tried to unionize once before at what, Northwestern?
Didn't the Dartmouth guys accomplish it?
I believe Dartmouth may have. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Dartmouth basketball does have a players' union.
Finally. And this is one that may stir up some feelings.
One more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What if you got NIL to supplement and take care of football and basketball, then use all $22 million for the other sports? Here's the thing I wouldn't want about that. Then we would get negatively recruited against about it.
Correct. Absolutely. And not only that, but why would you take that money from the programs that are making it? If anybody has a right to have that money, it's the football and basketball programs that are actually the ones driving that TV deals, that's driving the ticket sales. I mean, that's where this money's coming from, is ticket merch sales and sponsorships. These other programs are not getting those, at least nowhere near to the extent the men's basketball and the football team is. So why would you take that from?
Another great comment. Getting rid of walk-ons should be illegal, and I call BS. Some are better than others and never seen. Walk-ons should always be allowed. We're actually going to cover this very thing by bringing on the Rudy of Ohio State who walked on. A lot of you don't know him because you've never heard his story. Mike Wargo is a very good friend of the show. He's a great personal friend of Chris and mine. And we're going to bring him on before the season starts, and that's the very topic we're going to talk about. Mike Wargo doesn't have the life he has if he wasn't a walk-on. We should not allow that. I hope and pray the NCAA doesn't take that away, but they're moving towards it. All right, what's your next question, Chris?
And this is my wrap-up question, and this is one that could fuel some debate. Can we officially say that these kids are no longer student-athletes now that they're receiving money? And in the Olympic sports, should their amateur status be stripped because of these funds?
Say that again.
Can we officially say the kids are no longer student athletes? They are basically paid to play sports.
When they become employees.
Well, here's the thing. If we are going to be giving them revenue sharing, at that point, they are being paid to play sports, correct? Because not everybody at the university is going to share the revenue sharing.
They're already getting paid to play sports through scholarship as well as a $5,000 stipend.
But at this point, if you're receiving $100,000 to play football for a year, or if you're an athlete on the hockey team or one of the basketball teams, shouldn't your amateur status be stripped?
The amateur word is, and this is a good point that this Seek brings up. Amateur doesn't matter in the Olympics anymore. All other countries pay their athletes. Amateurism is dead. That model's dead. It was illegal. It's illegal. The courts have already shot it down. What we have right now is we are in a transition period that hurts. You're feeling a lot of growing pains and hurts as we transition from what used to be the amateur model that no longer exists to a professional model that's going to be taking place. There will be a players' union, absolutely, and they will be paid employees. I know a lot of people don't like that, but that's what we're heading towards. It's going to happen. And to be honest with you, it probably should happen sooner rather than later, because then it levels the playing field again for the most part. That is completely unlevel right now.
So once they become employees, if they're failing to do their job to the level of expectation, we can fire them, right?
You're fired. Yeah. You don't have a scholarship. There's no such thing as a scholarship anymore.
Yeah. So the era of the student athlete is effectively dead at this point.
Correct.
You got any thoughts on that, JR?
I mean, I'm okay with student athlete going away for like football and basketball and maybe women's basketball. I know that those girls can make a good amount of money too, but not everybody. So that's tough. But man, I'd hate to see, and I know baseball's different for the SEC, but I hate to see a baseball player, you know, get fired, or, you know, a synchronized swimmer get fired or something like that. But who knows? Maybe synchronized swimming won't even be around in 5 years. I don't know.
There's been a couple games in my playing career the coach wished he could have fired me.
Yeah. Are we sure we want to give these guys this much power when they're Ryan Day loses on a 50-yard field goal? Are we sure we want to give him that much power for what he can do to the kicker?
Don't give it to Urban.
Yeah,
hey, Urban doesn't need any power. He just needs his foot.
Jeremy Moreland. Good discussion, Chris. Nice job, buddy. I enjoyed that. Black jersey 00, last name on back, Price. So this one for me was free. I know you probably can't give a price. Can you kind of give someone a guesstimation, like what it might be? Can you do that?
So,
or you just want to say, contact me.
This is my take on the whole the thing. First of all, understand, I do not own the store that does these. I'm getting these through an associate.
The black market?
No.
Yes. Like that. Black jersey, black market.
For a customized jersey with your name on it, you're looking, anything less than a 3X, you're probably looking right around $125. If it's more than a 3X, then there's a little bit of an upcharge. So.
Okay, there you go. But now the next question was, is the store. Where could someone get these? We do not have these on our store.
Correct.
But
as I mentioned, these come to me through my associate. It's actually, and I'll be honest, it's my cousin who has the store. I get them through her, and she does have a storefront in Marion, Ohio. And if you want the information on that, just shoot me a message and I'll get you all the information.
There you go. There you go. Again, where is the store at? So it's on our website. So go to theohiopodcast.com, click on the store. There you'll see all the merchandise that Chris can sell you. That is Ohio State merchandise. If you're talking jerseys, you're going to have to email us and I will get you in touch with Chris if you're not already friends with him on Twitter or Facebook. And I can get you in touch with Chris. I can give you his email and he can get that taken care of for you. Got it?
Sounds good.
Perfect. We wanted to make sure we answer all those questions for you. And is there a day when we might be able to provide jerseys for all of you? Maybe. Chris and I have talked about it.
We're working towards an ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my gosh, DK, black jerseys. You all want to be Purdue so bad.
Nobody wants to be Purdue. No,
not this year, buddy. That's
nobody
for sure.
Wants to be Purdue. Not even in basketball, man.
I don't know that I'd want to be Purdue in basketball either. We have a national championship. Too soon? Too soon, Dylan?
I love it.
I'm sorry. Too soon. My bad. By the way, Dylan, hey, you need to tell Russ or one of your other guys to message me back. We need to do our preview for Purdue, man. All right. Anything else, guys? We went way over. We went to triple overtime tonight.
It's what we do.
It's what we've been doing.
Well,
yeah.
And you knew where it was going right out of the gate because it took us 20 minutes to get the show started.
Yeah. All right, guys, it's been a lot of fun. So the plan is to do a Thursday night, 8 o'clock call-in show again. Dylan texted me now. Send me the link. Dylan, hey, you want on the show? You want on the show? You need on the show, Dylan.
Call.
Then you and you need to schedule your preview. Gosh darn it. JR, tell everybody about the College Huddle where they can follow you and the shows and everything, man. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, College Huddle over YouTube, Apple, all those places. We had a 2-hour episode the other night with Dylan as he's telling everybody about. That was interesting. We even skipped a topic and we still went for 2 hours. So that tells you anything about how long we went and how ridiculous it was. But Tuesday night, we have our football show where we talk everything Big Ten. And then Wednesday night's the basketball show. I know there's not many basketball fans here, but we do talk about all 18 teams, and it's a good time, so come check it out.
Beautiful. Awesome, guys. Sounds good. Or you can just go to collegehuddle.com. Go over to thecollegehuddle.com. Please go visit our website, theohiopodcast.com. We will be back Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, for our call-in show. Looking forward to a good time. Until next time, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio, with all your heart. You guys know how to do it. OH!
I-O!
Go Bucks!
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.